Good morning and blessings. It is good to see everyone here, and we welcome our guests this morning. I do hope that everyone had a very merry, joyful, and meaningful Christmas, either by yourselves or with your family. Know that I was thinking of you and praying for you. And so, 2020 is coming to an end. Are you thinking, thank goodness? Are you feeling you're ready for something new? Have you ever thought this year, I thought God forgot about us? In parts of the book of Isaiah, the people of Israel were beginning to lose faith and hope. They were so emotionally drained. They were almost expecting bad things to happen because that's what had been happening to them for many years. Perhaps some of us here today are at that point as well. Isaiah 49:16 reads, "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me." I find that rather exciting. God has loved you since before you were born. You will never be forgotten. He shares your portrait on the palm of his hand, as if your name is engraved there or tattooed there. Some relate his engraving his church on the palms of his hand as the wounds in Christ's hands when he was crucified. He will look on those marks, and then he will remember you, and he will remember those who have suffered and died. I also read about some expressing of this verse that it is like having a ribbon tied to his wrist or his pointer finger so that every time the ribbon is viewed, he thinks of you. And I have placed some ribbons on the inside pews. If there aren't enough, I have extra for you to take. And upon the end of the sermon, you may tie the ribbon to your finger. And throughout the day, when you notice the ribbon, I want you to remember that Jesus is sending some loving your way and that he loves you. All right, so the ribbons are in the middle pew, and I have extras if you need one. Let me know if it works throughout the day, or put it on tomorrow and the next day as well. We can look forward to good things because God is good. We need to look forward to the good things in our future. God promises his everlasting love and his protection. He is in constant care for his church and for his people. Look at your past circumstances and review this year and recognize how very necessary your faith was and your faith is. You, as a believer, need to rely and trust regardless of what we see or how we feel. At times, especially this year, the circumstances of what is going on in the world or in our home may have been exaggerated, especially with our emotions being so volatile and in front of us on a daily basis. Could our emotions be lying to us as our pain deepens and fear invades? Do you ever share your emotional upsetness or anger with others and ask them to pray? But because it will feel better if someone else is on your side. So do you talk to other people, not wanting them to pray for you, but wanting them to realize and recognize what you're going through? Sometimes we lose that sense of, I am telling you because we need to pray together, but we talk to others and say, and want them to feel the way we feel, or to say it's okay that we feel the way we feel, and we don't necessarily take that next step, taking it to God. Have we stopped to share with someone this year how much God loves you and me? Have we taken a moment to remember his love is never ending, or shared this truth with a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, or a family member? Have we acknowledged to ourselves and to others that God's timing is impeccable, flawless, and perfect? I did ask my son Bradley if I could share this story, and he said, okay. There's never a good time for a divorce or an illness, and that's what happened to my family many years ago. But it was a tough time for myself, as it was for my children. It was tough for them to hang in there with me as many changes were occurring. Bradley was just recovering from 4 years of chemotherapy. Both boys were dealing with the divorce, which I have to admit that I wasn't dealing with very well. They had to move into two new homes. And so when I shared that I was retiring from teaching, Bradley had a real hard time with that. Our income was reduced, and we were going to live on a pretty tight budget. I kept encouraging them to recognize that God was in control and that we would get through this. I prayed that the boys would forgive me. I still pray that they forgive me for all of the changes that went on in their lives at that time. I prayed that they would forgive me, and I prayed that they would at least understand and see that I was totally trusting God. I prayed that they would understand why I was taking the steps forward that I needed to take to keep our little family intact emotionally. I knew that Bradley and Matthew were both suffering, but I knew that Bradley, it was more internalized for him, and that was tough for me to pull out of him what he was feeling. I need to let you all know that last week I had a wonderful conversation with Bradley on the phone. I pray every day that the Lord would open their hearts to him. It's a repetitive prayer. I say it every day for my children. And in this conversation with Bradley, he said to me, "Mom, I have to apologize for being upset with you that you retired from teaching. I now understand how important it is for you to be healthy and to be happy at your place of employment, and that wasn't fair of me." I was speechless. I was trying to catch my breath and not break out into tears, which I did, and I was thankful and explained to him how thankful I was that he was able to say those words to me. He is still working through things, and it was very mature and very open and very honest of him to say that to me and to apologize. And when I did see him on Christmas, the hug I got from him was bigger than ever before. So God is good. God is good. And my boys are wonderful young men. They're working through the awfulness of that time, and I truly appreciate appreciate them. And I have such an unconditional love for them. It's really a gift. Pastor Bill Boot shares that Jesus is a loving Father, and he sees the fruit of the Spirit sprouting from the trials we go through. He has plans for his children. Everything we go through, everything we feel, will lead to something positive. Hold on to that notion. Hold on to that. How blessed we are to have an ongoing invitation from Jesus to accept him as our Savior and to live with him as our Father. Neil Maxwell shares that each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Jesus. Jesus will not break down that door to your heart. He will be waiting for you to give him the invitation. He desires your fellowship. He desires to sit with you at the supper table. Pastor Chuck Smith has shared, he, Jesus, wants to fill your heart. He wants to be at home in your life. At times, I have been so hurt by the loss of a loved one, or saddened by what someone has said, or worried about finances, or worried about illness. I wonder how many of you are just like that, and you worry about these things. For the past few years, I have intentionally been practicing to simply quiet my thoughts and pray, asking for the Lord to recognize that he has my attention, he has my love. And I am listening for him. In painful moments, we need to remember the presence of God remains. He is able to guide, redeem, and transform these life moments, beginning with our hearts and our thoughts. The heart-tugging notion to do or say or respond in a godly way will enter your mind if you listen and pause before you speak. And yes, I work on releasing that notion that, hey, that's not, why didn't it work out the way I wanted it to work out? Why weren't my expectations met? As I know, it will be the way that Jesus wants it to be. We need to run. We need not to run to others for their sympathy or for their opinions about how we should act or respond when we can turn to the Bible and read it and learn Jesus' way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Turn to him. Think about God's words and teachings. We each get to make the choice to accept or reject his offer of life, hope, joy, peace, and love. God calls us to a deeper understanding of his desires for life together in our homes, our church, our community, and in this world. He is knocking. Upon his acceptance, we have the opportunity to share in the most intimate kind of relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants our lives to center around him. Resist building walls and protecting yourself in isolation. 1 John 4, 17, 18, and 19. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. We love because he first loved us. Jesus shares a love that is completely complete and perfect. Completely complete and perfect. I read this quote earlier this week. As much as we know and experience the completeness of his love now, we will know it all the more on the day of judgment. John writes that God is not so distant. He knows all about you. He took our deserved judgment, past, present, and future, with him on the cross. We are complete in his love. The glory of Jesus Christ in each of us is just in seed form, being developed daily, no matter your age. Its presence is demonstrated by our love for one another and by loving by God's commands. Paul's heart seems overwhelmed as he talks about the truth of salvation in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That sounds like the seed of love to me. How long has it been since you have told Jesus how much you have loved him? Let's pause right now for a time of reflection and purposeful prayer, simply to let Jesus know how much we love him. Thank you, Eloise. He is so amazing. He is so good to us. He truly loves each one of us. If we are reconciled to Him, He is for us every moment of every day and every night. We gain confidence, direction, and relationships as a benefit of our relationship with Jesus. This perfect love drives out fear, it drives out failure, intimidation, loss, the fear of punishment, and the fear of rejection. How many of you are familiar with Eeyore? We've had Eeyore in my house for a couple of years. And for the most part, he's sad and a depressed little character. It would not be my boys or my dad. Sometimes it's me. But the other person in my house sometimes needs a little help. You know who I'm talking about, maybe? My mom. Needs a little help because she worries about a lot of things. And so this is her little statue of Eeyore. He talks a little different. One of the things he says is, "Thanks for noticing me." He frequently loses his tail and declares, "It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it." He's a little filled with gloom, and if you would say good morning to him, he would say, "If it is a good morning, which I doubt." There have been some quotes that have led to some encouragement. "It's snowing still." "So it is." "And it's freezing, is it?" "Yes, however, we haven't had an earthquake lately." He sometimes announces that things could be worse, but you know what? My prayer for Eeyore and people who can't help it but worry, I pray that they learn that each day is a blessing. And I'm proud of Winnie the Pooh and all of his other friends because they truly love Eeyore for who he is. And they consistently try to help him and include him and encourage him not to worry so much. Know that all of our thoughts and decisions, no matter the size, become the concerns of Jesus. Turn from gloom and doom and trust Jesus. It is difficult to be conscious of God in others if we cannot first bring awareness of Him into our own lives. Our emotional patterns go into lockdown mode when we are in the time of stress. In 2020, think about virus conversations or political conversations you've had wherein you were sharing with the intent that that listener should only confirm what I am explaining and assuming. Here are three steps that author Eric Massonieri shares to use when you are in a difficult conversation. All right, when you're in a difficult conversation, or perhaps when you're hurt by someone else's words, or you're going to react to what a person has said or something that you've seen on social media, first, be aware of how your body is reacting. Is your heart rate changing? Is your breathing pattern changing? Pause to think what these physical sensations have revealed to you about your emotional state. This is seeking the truth. Second, move on to your thoughts. Being human, we have been given the gift of the capacity for conscious awareness of our thought patterns. Pause and become compassionate and curious about your own thought patterns. Notice your thoughts and name them. I'm upset, I'm hurt, I'm angry, I'm confused, I'm worried. Try not to evaluate them. Allow them to notify you of what your emotional state is. This is seeking the truth in love, being honest. Third, this author suggests that you notice the responses and invite God's Spirit to be present, helping you deepen your awareness. see if you can articulate one intention you want to bring forth at this difficult moment. An example would be, I seek to speak the truth in love. I want to listen more openly. I want to transform my anger, my fear, my worrying into compassionate action. And finally, trust God is at work within you to help you fulfill this intention. This is listening for the truth, transforming your understanding into compassionate action. When we are in the right relationship with Jesus, our relationships with family and friends and coworkers will become renewed. In the article from Massoneri, he refers to forbearance as the willingness to remain patient and to refrain from reactions that may be harmful to others. A deeper awareness of God's presence within each of us while practicing forbearance builds up the church. Our world is filled with brokenness, and we need to practice daily being aware of His presence among us while we are remaining patient. I appreciate the way that this author shares this type of prayer to encourage us to practice the compassionate awareness within ourselves. We become more likely to extend compassion to those who are around us. Working on recognizing our body's reaction, identifying our emotional responses, and inviting God's Spirit to be present during ordinary daily moments allows the practice to become our natural way to respond during stress-filled moments. Your affiliation with Jesus ensures that He is thinking of you. It means that you can fully trust that He is working in you. Know that He seeks joy for you. Revelation 3:20 reads, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Each of us is so blessed by our relationships with Jesus, and we are so blessed by our relationships with our church family. And isn't it neat to think of how He is rejoicing to have a friend like you? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your blessings. Thank you for hearing our prayers and for giving us the wisdom to accept your answer. Continue to guide us to seek your will. May we grow in love in our little corner of the world. You know our hearts. You hear our prayers. We rejoice because we are your children. Amen. At this time, we do a sermon response, so if anyone feels comfortable sharing this morning about the sermon or about the whole service.